that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome into a special Rule 5 Draft edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as your mayor of Rule 5 Draft Town. This guy over here knows way more about it than I do. He's the thunderstick and your vice mayor, the one and only Jesse Friedman.
You don't have to belittle yourself like that.
I just wanted to start right out of the gate.
Not
with that.
Like the first 30 seconds
know,
of the show.
I'm sorry,
my gosh.
I
mean, you're not wrong.
It's yeah, just a, there it is.
Okay. I don't know if you want to say it.
Right. Do you any more? You want to get any more in?
You can go ahead.
We'll go. Of course, this show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top rated sportsbook app. I was ready to go to war with the PHNX Sun Devils guys over them attempting to assassinate you on our show the other day. With a Nerf gun, but now I don't know so much if I want to go to bat for you.
Wow.
I'm feeling like I'm ready to part ways with people is what I'm saying. And if Sean wants to come in and take his shot at Jesse now, he can feel free to do so. But baseball teams might be feeling the same way. Of course, teams have until 6 p.m. Eastern, which is 4 p.m. our time tonight, to make their final decisions about their 40-man rosters. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are in a little bit of a predicament when it comes to that, because they do have some very good prospects that are currently Rule 5 draft eligible.
They do. Yeah. Dominic Fletcher will be added today. Pretty much no question there. We can pretty much say that definitively.
Kind of has to be.
Justin Martinez, I think, is another name that is really a non-negotiable after seeing what he did in the Arizona Fall League and how good he was there. It's no secret the Diamondbacks don't have a whole lot of relievers who throw, you know, upwards of 100 miles an hour with a couple of decent secondary pitches in their system already. So he's definitely a guy they're going to want to hold on to.
And it doesn't make it easier to hold on to him when he had such a good showing in the Arizona Fall League, especially considering that the purpose of that league a lot of the time is for scouts to go out there and see the top talent amongst prospects.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I think guys get sent to the Fall League really so that teams can figure out if they want to protect them from the Rule 5 draft or not. I don't think that was the case with Martinez. I think it's just a good opportunity for him in general to get some more innings in and show what he can do. But I think he made it abundantly clear that he'll be one of those guys that the D-backs add to the 40-man today. There are a couple of other names as well. Dominic Canzone. I think there's a pretty good chance that we see him added to the 40-man roster so that he would be off limits from the Rule 5 draft. I think Blaze Alexander is another name who's sort of on the edge, somewhat fits in like the Buddy Kennedy category from last year. I know we were all surprised that Buddy Kennedy was not protected from the Rule 5 draft last year, but no team selected him anyway. That's a big part of the calculation here is like, it's not just a matter of, you know, which players are you like wanting to protect moving forward? It's like, which players do you think other teams would realistically carry on their roster for a whole season? So there's plenty of guys who are good prospects who are Rule 5 eligible that the D-backs don't have to protect because there's no way that a team is going to actually carry them on a big league roster for an entire year. Michael McDermott says, I think there will be a trade today.
Also
very possible. So it's an exciting day, Derek.
I know
it's a random day in November during the offseason, but there's a lot of interesting things that could happen today.
And it just pops up and all of a sudden makes things exciting, right?
It does.
Makes things at least a little spicy, right? Really, when it comes down to it, the Diamondbacks have a lot of outfielders right now that are currently Rule 5 eligible. But one of the guys that MLB.com chose to pick out as a tough decision for the Arizona Diamondbacks was Connor Grahams, who is one of their only pitchers that's currently Rule 5 draft eligible besides Martinez. And again, I think there the idea is that the Diamondbacks really, they have four of their six, seven currently eligible prospects that are outfielders. The Diamondbacks are already flooded with outfielder depth and talent. So,
yeah,
you know, outside of Dominic Fletcher, I really feel like it could be even Dominic Canzone that we could see not protected. Now, like you said, when it comes to the Rule 5 draft, this is the way it works for those of you that aren't unfamiliar. The Rule 5 draft actually takes place at the winter meetings in San Diego this year.
It does.
It'll be on Wednesday, December 7th. If a team picks up, if they draft one of the eligible players, then there's like a $100,000 transfer fee that they have to pay. And then if they don't call that player up over the course of the next year, then that player can be given back to the prior team for $50,000. The point I'm making is it's fucking weird as shit. I don't understand the Rule 5 draft. I don't understand why baseball has to always be so goddamn complicated when it comes to this stuff. It drives me nuts. Like, what the hell is all of this? And it just, it's kind of like everything, right? It's kind of like when players are eligible to be, you know, paid a significant amount of money, you know, how many years they have to be in the league and everything. Like, baseball's so ridiculously weird when it comes to this stuff. But again, the Diamondbacks are in a tough position. Some teams don't have nearly as many eligible players as the Diamondbacks do. Some have more than the Diamondbacks. So they're just in a predicament where they could see, you know, a potential prospect be picked off by another team.
As weird as it is, there is a method to the madness here for MLB. The reason that the Rule 5 draft exists is so that teams don't just stuff like major league level players in AAA and just kind of leave them there to rot until they feel that they need them.
Correct.
It's to try to make sure that players in the minor leagues are given a fair shot, and that when they're ready to play in the majors, that they're not just stuck there waiting for forever. And after a certain number of years, if a team doesn't have an opportunity for them, doesn't have room for them on the 40-man roster, then it opens the door for another team to claim them. And there have been some very good players taken in the past. Johan Santana, before he did everything that he did the Minnesota Twins, he was taken in the Rule 5 draft by the Angels, I want to say, and then traded to the Minnesota Twins.
Angels continue to lose, right?
Yeah, it's just another. I think it was the Angels, but yeah, wouldn't surprise me given their past.
And the Diamondbacks really are that case when it comes to outfielder depth, right? There are some guys that absolutely could be ready, including Dominic Fletcher, who might not get an opportunity based on the fact that the team has so many quality outfielders currently on their major league roster and even waiting in the wings in the minor leagues, right? But for this year, like what Jesse said, that would mean a player that's either an international or a high school draft pick signed in 2018, and now they're eligible. Or if they were a college player taken in the 2019 draft, they're eligible. So these are guys that have at least been in their systems for 3 to 4 years and are guys that, like Jesse said, could very well be major league ready, but not being given an opportunity based on the organization that they are currently signed with. So from that aspect, it makes sense because no other sport really has a minor league system that's as robust and complicated as baseball does. And baseball is just one of it's those true. Games that for one reason or another inexplicably needs all of this shit, but whatever. the does make it exciting though, because we have been kind of talking about the Diamondbacks possibly being in the trade market, and the Diamondbacks and Mike Hazen have said that they are no longer trading for prospects. So if there is a trade that's made, it should be a trade that is made to make the major league roster better. And we could see that trade made as early as right now, anytime between now and 4 o'clock. I'm sure it'll happen 10 minutes after.
Are we just going to go for 3 hours?
We're going to try, but Jacob's going to cut us off probably after 35 minutes. That would be my guess.
Definitely.
Thanks, Jacob. Faj is here, everybody, by the way. So send your positive Faj comments to him. And of course, we thank our friends at Four Peaks Brewing Company for always keeping us joyful, like the Joy Bus. Wow, wheat. Make sure to check out their 8th Street Pub and make sure to join us, because we will be at that 8th Street Pub for all U.S. and Mexico World Cup matches. And not only that, but that's coming up less than 2 weeks away. So join us for that. Enjoy beer specials, giveaways, guest appearances, so much more. $3 kill lifters, $3 these guys. Of course, those U.S. and Mexico team rosters recently dropped, so make sure to check that out if you are a football aficionado. And make sure to join us. Register for free. Click the link in the show notes to do that, and make sure to come on out. Yes, Jesse will be there. That's
all you need to know.
That's all you need to know, Mark. That's all you need to know. But Also, what you need to know is that Underdog is the place for you to go get some higher or lower game in. You also get fantasy game that you win some money, everything over at Underdog. I love Underdog because, of course, I still am bragging about the $1,000 I won on pitch counts, but you can do stuff just like that. NBA, NFL, it doesn't matter. There's all sorts of fun to be had. Higher or lower, all you do, you find your favorite player, you find your favorite sport, you pick higher or lower on a stat that they give you, and you win yourself some money. The more picks you add, the more money you could win. So definitely check that out. I know our friend Shane is a huge fan of Underdog, and Jesse is a huge fan of Overdogs. So, I am. Of course. Make sure to check that out. Go check that out for a Suns game. That's one of my favorite times to use the Underdog app. And you can download that in your app store. Sign up with promo code PHNX, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code PHNX. Get in on the action today. Rookie of the Year awards were given out yesterday, Jesse. MLB Rookie of the Year awards. And of course, we are not surprised by who won in the American League. Are you maybe a little surprised by the National League? We have Julio Rodriguez and Michael Harris II. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think both of these races were, even though the votes didn't necessarily communicate this, I think that both races are actually very close. Specifically in the National League, where it was like the battle of these two Atlanta Braves, right? Spencer Strider and Michael Harris, who both had outstanding years.
Absolutely.
I think I would go against the grain a little bit, and I would probably go with Spencer Strider. I think there were only 8 people who said that out of 30 who gave the first place vote to Strider. But the reality is what Strider did with Atlanta down the stretch was just absolutely insane. I have a tweet from Codify, which says the lowest single season FIP in the last 100 years for 120 plus innings pitched. Spencer Strider is on that list with the 8th lowest FIP ever in the last 100 years for 120 or more innings pitched with a 1.83 FIP. So I think it's just insane what the guy was able to do. If you look at like WAR numbers, they're basically identical, so you really can't make a strong case one way or the other. I know Strider kind of came into the picture a little bit later in the year for the Braves, so maybe that was part of it. But in my mind, I would probably lean Strider, but I don't necessarily have a huge problem with people picking Harris. I mean, they're both great options.
It's going to be a shame that Strider is going to miss out just barely on both the Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young, because I feel like he'll be edged out there as well. But
yeah, he doesn't have a chance.
No, he does not. But he definitely had himself an incredible year.
If he had pitched 200 innings at the same pace, then we'd be talking. Sandy Alcantara might want to watch his back. But for sure. But yeah, 115 innings or whatever it was, that's not going to do it.
Let's take a look at where everybody finished. And a familiar face is also on this list. Of course, here's the breakdown of the top 5 vote getters for National League Rookie of the Year. Michael Harris, the second, obviously, with the most first place votes there, Spencer Strider, and then Brendan Donovan from the St. Louis Cardinals. But they're fourth and fourth. A guy we know, friend of the show.
There you go.
Big Mac Jake McCarthy, a.k.a. Rake McCarthy, showing up on that list. And I was going to ask, is that a surprise to you? I mean, at one point this season, you wrote an article about Alec Thomas making a case for being Rookie of the Year. And now here we're looking at Jake McCarthy being the one that made it in the top 5.
Honestly, yes. I mean, I'm not surprised at this point. I think we totally could probably have seen coming that he would finish fourth in the voting here. No surprises there. But like a few months ago, if you'd asked me, or if you told me like, Jake McCarthy is going to finish in the top 5 in Rookie of the Year voting and Alec Thomas is going to be on the list, I would have thought you were crazy. I mean, Jake McCarthy wasn't good in the big leagues over his first couple stints. He didn't get much opportunity. But then he went back down to AAA and hit like 370 toward the middle of the season. And they brought him back up to the majors and never sent him back down. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy what Jake McCarthy was able to accomplish. And he's deserving of the fourth place finish for sure. Can maybe make a case for him in third place. Brendan Donovan has maybe become something of a nemesis for D-backs fans, given that he also won the Utility Gold Glove Award.
He's a monster.
When Tommy Edman probably should have won that anyway, but
Dalton Varsho should have won it.
Dalton Varsho had a better case than Brendan Donovan in my opinion there. So yeah, not great that Donovan edges out another Diamondback, I guess, but yeah, I mean, still incredible what McCarthy was able to do, and I think voters honored that.
In the American League, we had Julio Rodriguez win it, and I don't think that there's any surprises there when it comes to J-Rod being your American League Rookie of the Year. He took the world by storm as a Seattle Mariner, and not only that, but he had one of the most wholesome celebration parties that you could imagine. Jesse, this is how I imagine that, like, a friend of mine would have celebrated at home with his parents and his siblings, a little confetti. Some balloons drop in a little bit that they got maybe from Walmart. Maybe they went to Party City for those. Those look a little – maybe MLB sent those. I don't know. I dig the baseball balloons. I want to know where I can get me some of those. But a great moment, absolutely outstanding. And, like, there's just something about that video that is very indicative of Julio Rodriguez. Like, he's just this fun, joyful player that just seems to be – so good for the game, so much fun to watch, and, like, really just had himself an incredible year. You know,
you couldn't
ask for more, I don't think, being a rookie in this league.
No, I mean, what he did, he was everything that the Mariners could have possibly hoped he would be, and there's a reason they gave him this absurd contract with all of these ridiculous incentives.
And Brett Johnson's right, the Mariners did get an extra draft pick for that too. Yep. Because he was a top 100 prospect and won Rookie of the Year, which is what you were talking about with the Diamondbacks potentially adding Alec Thomas to the roster for the D-backs earlier in the season, right?
So, yeah, I would need to look into that a little bit more. You have to have the player on your roster by a certain day in order to be eligible for that. So I'm not sure the Mariners would have gotten an extra draft pick as a result. I'm trying to remember what part of the year Julio Rodriguez was called up.
Okay.
I don't think I think it would have had to be opening day, and that was not the case. So so I'd have to look a little bit more into that. But yeah, regardless, I mean, Julio Rodriguez is I think going to be a staple in this game for a really long time.
He did make the opening day roster.
He did. Okay.
He did make the Mariners opening day roster.
Yeah. Yeah. So Brett is spot on there. Yeah, so that's, I guess, another perk for the Mariners and all of this. Adley Rutschman, though, I do think probably should have gotten a little bit more love than he did. I was following an interesting conversation on Twitter earlier today that wins above replacement might not value catchers as much as it really should. And so maybe Adley Rutschman was a little bit undervalued in this competition and should have gotten a little bit more love than he did.
But let me ask you this: wouldn't your casual MLB fan say, "Who the hell is that?" versus Julio Rodriguez and just the breakout season he had as being a superstar in this league? I know stats are matter significantly here, but not only was Julio Rodriguez great statistically and an exciting, like, player personality that brings a lot of attention to the game, but the Mariners made the playoffs, and
they did.
He was a big reason why they were able to do so. So I don't know.
The Orioles had like a 30 plus game turnaround
that's
from last
also
year.
Very true. But again, when you don't make the playoffs, I don't care. I don't care about you, is what I'm saying.
Adley Rutschman, though, I mean, like 254, 362, 445. I mean, being as good of a defender as he is and as good of a leader as he is, like, he's also everything the Orioles could have hoped for.
Sure.
He played 113 games. Rodriguez played 132. I think that if they were on equal footing in terms of the opportunities that they had, I think I would probably lean Adley Rutschman on this. He's just if you have a catcher who can hit, there's like three of them.
We were talking about that. That's why I was so adamant about spending all the money on Wilson Contreras yesterday. It's that same thing, like, to be able to bring somebody over.
Yeah, which the Diamondbacks will not do.
But still, it's fun to dream. Why do you like this? Why are you like this?
I think
Derek, are you saying that Carson Kelly isn't good enough for you?
Quick talk, say something. I'll answer this question.
I think Carson Kelly is
fine.
that's probably an appropriate word. Carson Kelly has shown flashes of being something more than fine,
hitting 320 for a little period of
time
there.
Like,
he think that he
was
really do that.
in 2019, he had a really, really good season. He kind of faded down toward the end of the year, but still was really good overall. But yeah, I think there have been times when D-backs fans have kind of been ready to give up on Carson Kelly, and then he goes on a little hot streak, and then you kind of have confidence again. And yep. It's been a lot of up and down there. But the D-backs are interested in doing something this offseason from a catching standpoint. So I think that's probably more of a backup catcher than replacing Carson Kelly. But yeah. We'll see.
Could be Cooper Hummel, or Cooper Hummel could be DFA before the end of today. Who knows?
It's
a crazy day, and we have no idea where these 40-man rosters are going to end up. So that's a good reason to stay tuned and join us tomorrow, as we're going to update you on everything that happens today, including chatting with Mike Hazen this evening at some point about whatever goes down with the D-backs. So we'll be back tomorrow with that information for you guys. But before we move on, I wanted to ask, are you giving it to Spencer Strider in the National League? Because I feel like I am. Like that,
yeah.
Julio Rodriguez won it for me in the American League, but Strider would be the only change I would make there. Would you?
Yeah.
Would you give it to Rutschman in the American League, or would you stick with Julio?
I would probably stick with Julio.
Okay.
I would but it's tough. I mean, it's really close. But yeah, I would give it to Strider instead of Michael Harris. Yeah. Again, very, very close. But I mean, I just don't know what more you could possibly have asked for. His numbers were just ridiculous. How, like, the strikeout rate and a pretty low walk rate. There wasn't really anything that Spencer Strider did that wasn't like, wow, this guy is like an elite starting pitcher in this league. So yeah, he deserves his flowers for sure.
Very, very true. Very true. Well, if you haven't done so already, make sure to sign up for a membership over at gophnx.com. That way you can read all of Jesse's wonderful writing. Sometimes he gives it to you for free. Like his most recent piece is available.
Today's just it's a fun one.
It's just a fun one. It's looking back on the Diamondbacks' 10 hardest hit balls of 2022. And spoiler alert, they weren't all in play for hits. And of course not, because
no,
it's the Diamondbacks. But make sure you check
not
that
because
out.
It's the Diamondbacks, but because it's baseball.
It's because it's baseball. It's true.
And sometimes it doesn't matter how hard you hit the baseball. It's going to find
you can
someone.
Have an XBA of 800 and hit the ball a million miles an hour, and it's going to go right into the glove of the second baseman. That's the way it's going to work. But of course, check that out if you haven't done so already. Get yourself a membership for gophnx.com. You can get an annual membership, and you'll get your first month for just 50, you'll get a free t-shirt from the phnxlocker.com, free hat, free whatever you want over there. Go over, check it out, phnxlocker.com. You'll get membership discounts as well, whether you're an annual member or a month-to-month member. If you're month-to-month, you can get your first month for just 50 cents. You'll get those discounts at phnxlocker.com. You'll also get members-only access to our Discord, as well as members-only invites to our events. So make sure to sign up to do so. If you're watching us right now on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when we go live. Leave us a little thumbs up for my own self-esteem. And of course, if you're listening to us on your favorite audio podcasting app, make sure to subscribe to us there as well and leave us a review. We'd appreciate you for doing so. Before we get out of here, this guy over here has been given a homework assignment.
He's been given
movies to watch, and we want to make sure that we're following up on him. And we are very excited to introduce our brand new segment, Jesse Hasn't Seen It. And this week on Jesse Hasn't Seen It, Jesse has now seen the classic baseball film, The Sandlot.
I'm really ashamed about this one. Honestly.
You should be.
The fact that I hadn't seen this one before.
You know why you should be ashamed.
I do.
Right?
I absolutely do.
Oh my God, I'm so mad at you still for not having watched this, but I forgive you because now you've seen it. So, what were your initial feelings on this movie?
Well, so of course, knowing me, I had to put some numbers on it, right? So, Jacob, can we get the stat cast
breakdown.
Metrics.
Yeah, good job, Jesse. Of course, you had to nerd it up.
I had to. Pretty well across the board. There's a lot of bright red.
Yeah, that's a lot
on
yeah,
the screen
there. I like that the dog in him is at 99 because of course there's a dog in this film that plays
there
a major
is
role,
I so. Wasn't a re- that won't be a category for every movie necessarily, but
if there's a dog in the film for sure,
yeah,
there's going to be.
Although in this case they refer to the dog as the beast
of
course throughout most of the movie. But for people on audio, I've got plot at 78.
Is this on a scale of 0 to 100?
Zero to 100.
Okay.
0 to 100.
This is a 20 to 80 scale?
No, this is not the scouting scale.
Okay.
You'll note it can't be 20 to 80 because
there's a 99.
There are multiple numbers that are above 80 on the screen.
Got it.
I have cinematography at 57, acting 71.
Why?
So cinematography is 57 because some of the stuff with the beast was just like I don't know, like the way that the dust was like floating in the air constantly. It was kind of like a smoke effect, but it was just dust.
It was a Muppet at times too. Did you pick up on that? That it wasn't always a dog, right?
There was also that.
Was the use of a Muppet?
I think that did play a sizable role in this rating being a little bit lower. But again, 57 is still above average.
Still above average.
It's still a light shade of red.
Yeah.
Rewatchability is 81.
Very high. Very high rewatchability.
I would going in, I kind of expected it to be a classic that I wouldn't really ever care to watch again. No. That was not the case.
Yeah.
It was a very fun movie to watch all the way through.
But it's both, right? Like, this is a classic kids movie. And when I say that, I mean, like, there are just some kids movies that transcend, you know, I'm too old to watch this, right? This has just enough, like... you know, when we were kids, the adult stuff, right? The infamous chewing tobacco scene.
Yeah, right.
And everything with Wendy Peppercorn and everything like that, right? These were your standard young kids that wanted to be adults before their time was, you know, around. And I just, for me personally, you know, I loved this movie as a kid. I loved it growing up. There's never been a time where I wouldn't watch this film, but... I can't tell you how much the beginning of it means to me now, right? The walk into the empty baseball stadium, going up to the press box, preparing himself to be the announcer for the game, like as you can attest to now because you're part of this too, it's very reminiscent of what we do. And like, I just remember being a young kid that thought that that was the coolest thing ever. Like that was like the coolest job. So for me personally, there's times where I can't believe that even after doing this for 11 seasons and 10 years, that I still get to be doing that walk through an empty baseball stadium and riding the elevator up to the press elevator, right? But this movie has so many quality scenes, like just being a kid in America in, you know, in an indescribable oldie time.
Do we know 60s. Where officially? I know it's like Southern California.
Yeah,
do they ever identify where exactly we are?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think it's just kind of ambiguous. But like, yeah, it definitely had Southern California. Obviously, that's where it's filmed. But like,
yeah,
I mean, even him going on to play for the Dodgers and everything like that. Benny the Jet Rodriguez. This movie, though, another thing is I think we can all relate to having a friend that was much better at us than at everything in life.
That's fair.
It's kind of Sean DePaz a little bit in this office. Maybe even Saul, too. As much as we give Saul shit, Saul is way
you
too
mean
good
because,
at everything.
Because Saul had never played pickleball before.
Saul is
and,
the most incredibly competitive person I've ever met in my life. But when I say that, I don't just mean he's competitive. I mean, well, Saul will literally do his research and practice and become better at you than something that you might even be good at. That's the way he is. And I love these guys.
Mark says that's why I'm here.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.
I
still got to get the ooze handshake down, Mark.
Oh, there you go. I have to agree with Gabriel, who said as great as the fireworks scene is, it's clearly filmed off a TV set or something. It's weird that it wasn't stock. Yeah, the fireworks scene doesn't. The cinematography.
Oh, you're talking about when they're
there.
Playing baseball under the lights of the fireworks.
Yeah, it just there's something. It just doesn't look quite right about what's going on there. So.
You're very picky for a movie that was made in 1993.
Yeah, well, I'm not factoring in the age of the movie. I'm going to review these movies with like my current, you know, modern day standards. And this one, it fell a little short in that regard in some ways.
That's why the cinematography is so low.
That's why. And I mean, it's not that low. It's still above average.
It's still pretty low. And I take offense to that because I think the Sandlot itself was perfect. I think the treehouse was perfect. I think
the treehouse is pretty perfect.
I very much appreciate the locales of them going places, right? Because as a kid, you're very limited on where you're going anyway. School, the public pool, your friend's house for baseball. You're not allowed to go many places else other than that. But all right. Well, we're glad to have you review that. The next movie Jesse hasn't seen is Major League. Another baseball movie. So
there
we're giving
him
a baseball assignment, this time on the opposite spectrum of wholesomeness from The Sandlot. Though I will say that Squints and Wendy Peppercorn definitely are very, very much qualified this movie to be a little bit closer to Major League than I'm making it out to be. But
so
I'm excited.
I have a couple more things to say about this.
Oh,
all
let's
right.
Go.
So,
I'm excited.
So I picked a character who I think is most like me. And,
okay.
and I try to pick a character who's most like you.
Okay.
I think I'm most like Scott Smalls.
You're right.
I think that's You're pretty right. obvious.
I think that's you have the fish hat, I think, that he was told to throw.
Watching the kids like try to explain to him how to play baseball reminded me of like you all like talking to me about all of the pop culture things that Correct. I don't get, where I just like it just doesn't like compute yeah. in my brain what yeah. you're talking about. And yeah, he's just like kind of a sweet, like kind of innocent kid, you know? So yeah.
But there's only one answer for me.
What?
Clearly.
An answer for what?
For what I would be, which character I would be. Okay. Yeah.
What do you think?
To.
What do you think?
I'm Ham.
Okay.
Jesse.
That's what I had to.
I'm Ham.
That's what I had to.
I mean, there's no doubt about that.
You've told me that you were like kind of a chubbier child.
I was a chubbier child. So, I'm still a pretty chubby adult myself right now. So yes, no, I haven't changed much, and I still like cakes and cookies. So that's not changed. But I think it's also the shit talking and
yeah, that was the main thing.
So I mean, what are we even talking about? What are we even doing? Of course, I'm Ham.
His him talking trash behind the plate as if that was outstanding. As far as the plot of this movie is concerned, I do have a couple of small beefs here.
Let's go.
Bill becomes entirely too nice upon returning from his business trip. He was a menace. Like that guy, I wanted to smack that guy mm-hmm. before he left for his business trip, and then he comes back.
It's not his kid, Jesse.
Yeah.
It's not his kid.
But like, I don't know.
Why should he have to go play catch with him?
Wow.
And the first thing he does is get hit in the face. Come on. I'd be annoyed with that kid too. Like, come on.
I don't know. He comes back and like, I don't know. It from being the character that he was before leaving for the business trip and sure. then returning, it just didn't line up. It's like now it's all smiles, they're having fun in the backyard and everything. It's like, no, this is not the Bill.
But is this after he got the murderer's row ball? Spoiler alert, what are you making me do here? I feel like I'm just
I hope everyone has seen The Sandlot at this point. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who likes baseball on the planet who has not seen this movie, so Fair I wouldn't enough. Wouldn't worry too much Fair about enough. That but
Charles Woodall Pike in the comments said Major League is where I heard a certain word for the first time. Yes, welcome, thank you. Yeah, that's
can't wait.
We all grew up a lot watching Major League as small children, didn't we? All right, well, it's exciting, and thank you for that. I'm excited, and we are going to slowly culture Jesse as we move along.
It's a weekly process.
Slowly getting better as a person one week after the next. But make sure that you, if you're new to something like DraftKings Sportsbook, you try it out the way that Jesse's trying out these movies. And if you're a new customer, you can make any $5 NBA Moneyline bet. And if your bet wins, you will get $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use our promo code of PHNX. That's promo code PHNX on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make that bet and make that money. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Like I said yesterday, I've been doing much better on my NBA Moneyline bets. And I will say that maybe don't do as many parlays. I was doing a lot of parlays. I wasn't hitting my parlays, but I kind of broke it down. Maybe simplify your parlays. Don't go as many legs. I don't know what to tell you, but try to win that money. That's what the goal of this is. And I will say that I, thanks to the Suns, have lost money over the last couple of days, but I'll be back. Don't worry. So will the Suns, damn it. In the meantime, I have plenty of OGs to tie me over. And of course, my favorite flavor is the orange creamsicle of our friends over at OG's Gummies. We have a new deal with them. We're very excited to be partnering with them for the foreseeable future. I tried to be their spokesperson. They said that doesn't fly because we're the number one edibles company in Arizona. I was trying to be clever, but of course, I'm still enjoying their products regardless of if they make me their spokesperson or not. You can try them too. They have a wide variety of doses, strains, and of course, flavors to choose from. They're all about flavoring life, and they have that the new Sleep Edition gummy that I can't seem to find anywhere. Mostly because everybody loves it so much, it's just sold out. I need to go to OGs directly and be like, hey, remember me? I'm the guy that tried to be your spokesperson. Can I get some? Because everybody wants a good night's sleep. So make sure to try that out. Wonderful flavor called Aquaberry. And of course, wide variety of flavors and doses to choose from. As always, you can find them at your local dispensary. Must be 21 years or older to enjoy. Jesse, we have a fun afternoon of seeing what the Arizona Diamondbacks do. As it stands, no moves have been made yet, but of course that's going to change the minute we wrap this thing up. So
yeah, inevitably.
Inevitably.
Give it about 15 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes usually is how long it takes. Yep, for sure.
Remember the Luke Weaver, Emmanuel Rivera trade?
Oh, yeah.
I think was about 15 minutes after we got off the air that day. So,
But again, yeah, we should have some updates from Mike Hazen tomorrow. So make sure to join us. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys again for spending your lunch with us. We always enjoy you being here. On behalf of Faj, Jesse, and myself, we appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you battle with the beast.